Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage Chiefs of fullpresscoverage.com, coming to you on a Friday as this podcast episode drops, recording it here late on Thursday, about a week removed from the 2021 NFL draft. Of course, you guys can go check out our 2021 Chiefs draft recap article from last Sunday, where we recapped all the picks, gave our short-term and long-term outlook for each player that the Chiefs drafted, what their role and fit could be for the team overall, and the positives and negative traits that are going to kind of be taken into consideration for these players as they enter the NFL level with Kansas City. And we're going to be wrapping up draft coverage a little bit today in this podcast episode, as we're going to be looking at all four NFL draft classes in the AFC West, giving our rankings and what we liked and what we did not like here for all four teams. And I thought overall the AFC West probably had one of the better drafts if you put the entire division, clumped together compared to other divisions around the league. So, I really thought a lot of these teams got some great value, or obviously made a pick that is going to cement a position of their team for a long, long time to come. And we're going to kick it off here, going class by class, pick by pick in the AFC West. And we're going to start off with the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, here on this Chiefs podcast episode here for FPC. And if you want to include Orlando Brown Jr. in this draft class, it's kind of a falsetto, first round pick for the Chiefs in the trade that they made with the Baltimore Ravens. So the Chiefs' first pick in the 2021 draft, obviously last week at 58 overall in the second round, Missouri linebacker Nick Bolton. Second pick in the second round for them, 63rd overall, Oklahoma center Creed Humphrey. Their next pick came fourth round, 144th overall, Florida State defensive end Joshua Kando. They traded up in round five with the New York Jets to take tight end Noah Gray from Duke with the 162nd pick, 181. Near the end of round five, they go Clemson wide receiver Cornell Powell, and they get a great value pick to wrap things up here. Sixth round, 226th overall, Tennessee guard Trey Smith. So overall, I thought, if you, of course, read our draft recap from last week, I thought that overall, this was probably general manager Brett Veach's best draft top to bottom. He's made some good picks in the past. You have guys like Derek Nnadi from the 2018 class, who's kind of held his own consistently as a run defender, as a defensive tackle. You have, obviously, Juan Thornhill in 2019. So far has had a pretty solid first couple of seasons. And then you look, of course, to 2020 even, and there's a couple of picks there that stand out already. Clyde Edwards-Helaire and even Willie Gay started to put it together late last season. But I think top to bottom, especially the day three picks when they were lacking picks in the first two days of the draft, they really, really hit the spots that I think they needed to hit. I mean, Kane Doe is going to be a little bit of a developmental piece. But I think, like a lot of players coming out of Florida State the last few years, just destined to be a better pro player than college player. A high ceiling for him. Really like his size. Tremendous for Steve Spagnuolo's defense with the heavy hands, the length. Just figuring out how to string those pass rush moves together and become more nuanced in his pass rush counters is going to be huge for him. He's a guy that wins with a lot of effort, a guy that can win more with reading the play and watching it develop rather than necessarily getting home consistently. He does have a nice, solid first step exploding off the ball, but I think overall Kane Doe is probably the most developmental guy probably in this draft class for the Chiefs, probably a guy that'll be 2 or 3 years away when it's all said and done, possibly for this team. But other great day three value picks that they got. Overall, I was not a big fan of trading up for a tight end, not necessarily because of the player. I think just the position, they could have went and got either other guys later on, you know, with one of their last two picks after this, or they could have even signed a guy UDFA. I mean, there was some good UDFA still available, you know, from a lot of different positions. So I'm sure tight end would have been the same way. But if you're talking stylistically, I think Noah Gray, some people have pointed out he kind of is entering the NFL with a similar skill set to Travis Kelce. Not obviously saying he's going to be, you know, one of the top tight ends in the league necessarily like Kelce, but I think from a style perspective, really solid athleticism, can kind of, you know, show off a little bit of wiggle and twitch at the top of his routes. And I think, you know, overall at Duke, wasn't able to always showcase his downfield ability, but I think with somebody like Andy Reid, who can kind of get him open vertical down the middle of the field, or, you know, do some screens with him in the tight end game, I think there's a lot of potential with him in this offense. And honestly, I think Noah Gray, even though I'm not a fan of adding a tight end and trading up for one in the fifth round necessarily, Noah Gray himself definitely has, I think, the most natural receiver skills and natural athleticism that they've had at the position to pair with Travis Kelce, since Kelce's really, you know, cemented himself as one of the best tight ends in the league a handful of seasons ago. Cornell Powell, though, I really love this guy. He's got a unique skill set and, you know, obviously gives them a size at wide receiver that they have not necessarily had in a little while in this Andy Reid offense. 6 foot, 227, I believe, is his size. I may be off on the weight there, but yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's certainly built well, but honestly, you would think that he plays even bigger than that. He's tremendous in contested catch situations, jump ball situations. I really like him in that kind of vertical role down the field. And you talk about going from one of the best college football quarterbacks of all time in Trevor Lawrence now to joining Patrick Mahomes as a rookie at the NFL. That's quite the you know, benefit for Cornell Powell in his career. A guy that, you know, was buried on the Clemson depth chart behind a lot of good receivers for a little while. But yeah, I thought overall, given how much he kind of, you know, had to overtake in 2020 in that offense, you know, big shoes to fill. He had to do it quickly, and I think he had tremendous results, a lot of yards per reception. And I think he's a guy very, very smart with the ball in his hands after the catch. So a bigger bodied guy, but I think can do so many more dynamic things than, say, some other receivers with the size and build that he has. So this was one, probably my favorite pick overall on day three. I mean, we'll get to Trey Smith in a minute, which again is tremendous value. But I think with where the Chiefs are at right now, and you talk about, you know, where some of the bigger focal points are of this team, and honestly, receiver, I mean, it's definitely one of their top needs entering the draft. I thought this was, you know, for how they decided to go about attacking the board based off positions, I think this was a tremendous, tremendous find on day three. One of the best picks, I think, overall in the draft, I think just from a player and team scheme fit overall. So I really love this Cornell Powell pick. But last of the day three picks here, just again hitting on the value the Chiefs had on day three, Trey Smith, I had him graded as a third round player. I think NFL evaluators had him as a second or third round player, and we know the reasons why he fell mostly was due to medical stuff, blood clots in his lungs in 2018. But the wild thing is, even with those, you know, crazy medical factors involved, he has not missed a game the last two seasons. So it's kind of interesting to see the NFL still handle him with that, you know, and drop him for that, as far removed as the blood clots were. But yeah, I think this is a guy, you know, he was very, very outspoken on Twitter once he did not get picked in the first, you know, 2 days of the draft. And to see him fall, not just through round four, but round five as well, and end up being taken in round six. He got a very motivated player here, a big body mauler up front who's a physical, nasty blocker, finishes blocks with authority. You know, I think obviously is kind of only going to be grounded to a guard position, but you really, really got to be excited, I think, for the future of Trey Smith, even if he does not necessarily see the field in year one a ton. I mean, this is a guy that, like a lot of others the Chiefs have brought in this this offseason, overhauling the offensive line. It's a lot more bigger-bodied guys now, more physical, nasty blockers than, say, going with the athleticism that they've leaned towards the last handful of seasons. So Trey Smith, that could be one of the best deals of this draft. You know, medical things, it is what it is. It's out of a lot of teams' control, so I get it. I get him dropping. We've seen a lot of players that, you know, I thought were day two picks in the last few years dropped to day three late just because of medical stuff has been so much harder for teams to get a grasp on, especially the last couple of years with the COVID affected drafts. But, you know, again, that was, I thought, tremendous value for the Chiefs to find on day three. But let's now talk about their two picks in the second round. Nick Bolton is a really fun complement at linebacker to Willie Gay. Both have fun speed to utilize, but I think Nick Bolton's is a little different. He's more of a downhill thumper. I do think he'll have to work on improving his technique and trusting his eyes and instincts a little more in pass coverage. I think he can get lost in space a little bit. And honestly, I think overall with his size and length or lack thereof, there is going to be times where he's going to have to work really hard on, you know, deconstructing blocks. But this is a guy that is a hammer in the middle of the defense at linebacker. Very, very savvy with how he reads plays, reads them quickly, knows where the ball's going. So you love how he can diagnose plays. And again, just a guy that I think the Chiefs made this pick more so with how the rest of the division is kind of building themselves right now. You talk about what the Raiders have at running back with Josh Jacobs, the Broncos, which we'll get to their draft class in a minute, but one of the guys they selected this year in North Carolina, running back Javonte Williams. Those are two physical, hard-nosed running backs in the division, and now you complement that with Nick Bolton. I think this was not necessarily just a pick that the Chiefs were looking at for the long-term future of their team and filling a possible secondary need either this year or next year. I think this is strictly to try to counteract what some of the AFC West teams are trying to build right now overall. So I really like Nick Bolton. I mean, I did not think the Chiefs were going to probably go after a lot of linebackers in this class, but I thought one of the few they would have been maybe interested in was Nick Bolton. A lot of obvious reasons, I think, with his play style, but also I think the Missouri connection had a lot to do with it as well. So Nick Bolton, you know, overall, I was not going to be probably a fan of much linebackers going to the Chiefs in this draft, but I think with Bolton, I can definitely get behind that for Kansas City. And I'll be honest, I like this linebacker class a lot, but I think just from a talent and scheme, you know, style perspective that a lot of these guys have been accustomed to, I think Bolton was the guy that I was more comfortable with, honestly, if I were in that position picking for the Chiefs. But Creed Humphrey, to me, probably personally the best pick. I mean, I like Cornell Powell a lot. I like Trey Smith. But I think when you talk about just immediate impact and long-term future impact for the Kansas City Chiefs, Creed Humphrey, a guy that was probably one of the best centers in all of college football the last few seasons, did not allow a sack, I believe, at all last year, and I want to say the last 2 years as well. So Creed Humphrey's a guy, very, very strong, very, very physical. And I think, you know, he even said in his, post-draft interview after being taken by the Chiefs that he learned a lot from Orlando Brown Jr., who Kansas City just acquired from Baltimore in the trade. So, you know, they were together a little bit at Oklahoma, and I think that Humphrey obviously has said he's taken great pride in learning to be more physical from Brown a little bit. So I think, like I said, I would not be surprised to see Humphrey start year one. I know they signed Austin Blythe, who's a very, capable center. I think it's obviously an upgrade upgrade over Austin Ryder, even if you just went with Blythe this year. But Creed Humphrey's certainly a guy that I would not be shocked to see win that opening day starter job. To me, hands down, probably the best pick overall in this draft class for the Chiefs. But again, like I said, especially in that draft recap article from last Sunday, top to bottom, in my opinion, Brett Veach's best draft, top to bottom, just because I think past years, day three, you've always been, you know, more skeptical or hopeful that it's going to pan out. I think you can see a clearer picture that guys like Noah Gray, Cornell Powell, and Trey Smith, and even Joshua Kane, though, down the line are going to have, you know, clear roles. It's not guys that are just going to be limited to, you know, going back and forth, coming on the field, going off the field, or being mostly just a special teams ace. So really, really love this draft class for the Chiefs. I think the day three picks obviously made the difference in me placing it as one of the best draft classes in this division. But again, you cannot go wrong, obviously, with the 2 second-round picks they made, especially when you're talking Creed Humphrey pairing up with Patrick Mahomes now for the quarterback and center tandem there on the offense. We're going to go now to the Denver Broncos, and I'll be honest, I did rank the Chiefs number one in this division for draft classes. And the biggest difference for me, just for my opinion and how I viewed these players, was the day three pick. So, but I thought, man, these were two very, very strong classes that I think, honestly, you could flip a coin on between Kansas City and Denver, in my opinion, for the best in the class. Denver got a lot of good value. They moved up and down the board on day two. They go Patrick Surtain, the second, first round, ninth overall. Javonte Williams, they trade up 5 spots to get him in the second round at 35 overall. Quinn Meinerz, the Division III Wisconsin Whitewater product on the offensive line, can play center or guard. They take him 98 overall in round three. And a little bit later to end day two of the draft, round three, number 105 overall, they go Ohio State linebacker Baron Browning, which a lot of people were surprised to see him fall that far. But in the end, a great, great value pick here for Denver to end round three. They then have fifth round picks, both safety picks here, with Texas Longhorn safety Caden Stearns at 152 overall and 164 overall. Indiana safety Jamar Johnson. Then they go Auburn wide receiver Seth Williams at 219 in the sixth round. And then they have, 3 seventh-round picks overall, 237 LSU corner Kari Vincent Jr., 239 Ohio State defensive end Jonathan Cooper. And they go defensive end again with 253 overall Mississippi State's Marquise Spencer. So, yeah, they obviously added a lot to the defense, which, right, it's probably not a big shock there with the Vic Fangio coach team and obviously where their defense has kind of been struggling overall the last couple of seasons, especially in the pass defense department. It's not a surprise, I think, to see what they added. They already had a pretty fun secondary, but I think obviously they made this a lot better in a division where you got to go up against Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert twice a season. I thought they did a great job there. I will say this was probably a top 10 draft class, in my opinion, this year. I would put them still number two behind Kansas City, though, personally. And I'm not just saying that because this is a Chiefs podcast. I just thought with where the Chiefs were at, they easily had their best draft and I think hit on what exactly they needed to do. But Denver, I think it's interesting, though. The only thing that I think is really crazy here with Denver, right, is I kind of talked about it on some other shows and stuff and live streams before the draft. I just thought if Denver was in a position to get their quarterback in this draft, especially for Vic Fangio-led team, I think this was going to be their last opportunity for Vic Fangio maybe to get his guy before his time passes him by. You know, an older coach like that has had a couple of losing seasons, but you know, Justin Fields was on the board for them. They didn't go there. And I'll be honest, Drew Lock's not the worst quarterback out there among the starters in the NFL, but he's so up and down. A lot of injuries already in his career. Very, very turnover prone. So I will say this was a great draft, but I think it's weird. I think Denver has a chance or they had a chance, if they were to add the right quarterback, I think this team gets into the playoffs easily in the AFC and has a chance to actually make some noise, believe it or not, here in the AFC playoffs. But I think you look at where this team is at. Yeah, you did a great job building the draft. You made this secondary unbelievably good, top to bottom, inside out. But I do think Denver, I don't know. It's just it's an interesting time right now, and I know there's the Aaron Rodgers rumors out there, but that you know, you have to go so many hoops still, I think, to make that become a realistic avenue. I will say though, I got to give Denver a lot of credit. I don't want to just say, you know, they're you know, missed an opportunity completely with the quarterback. I think they somewhat did. But I think you got to give him a lot of props with this draft. And I, going back to a Vic Fangio-led team, what I really liked about this for the Broncos was they added a lot of physical and powerful players. Javonte Williams at running back, and of course they cut Phillip Lindsay last year. Melvin Gordon's entering the last year of his deal. So I was a little surprised at first to see them invest in a running back this early, but looking more at the contracts and the future deals for the players at the position for Denver, it makes a lot of sense. Quinn Miners, another guy, very physical player up front, coming from Division III Wisconsin Whitewater. I think he could play center or guard at the NFL level. Baron Browning, man, he's really interesting because in a division like this, I mean, we talked about adding a tremendous secondary, but Baron Browning, man, he's so good at reading pass plays and diagnosing where the quarterback wants to try to fit the football into. And at Ohio State, you know, he was a little bit of a late bloomer in that, but yeah, he really, really showed out well on shallow crossers and dropping back against intermediate routes. So I think Baron Browning in a division like this, great pickup for Denver. And again, a guy that a lot of people were surprised to see still on the board there to end round three. The couple of safety picks in round five, I like Jamar Johnson from Indiana, who they took second of the two safeties, a lot more than Caden Stearns. I had Jamar Johnson, I believe, ranked as my sixth safety in the class. Caden Stearns, I believe, was like 18th for me. So not a big fan of Stearns. I think he gets a little bit lost trying to watch into the backfield, loses track of the football fairly easily. But I think Jamar Johnson's the complete opposite, great nose for the football. So I think, you know, you get your boomer bust there. Maybe Stearns is going to develop pretty well in a defense and team scheme like that for Vic Fangio coaching him up. You know, overall, I thought they found some other good value here late in round seven. Tari Vincent Jr., who might be best suited in the slot at corner, and Jonathan Cooper from Ohio State. A little surprised to still see him on the board here, but again, I think he's a guy that has some of his better football in front of him. Another guy, just powerful, physical at the point of attack. And I think that's what stuck out to me with Denver, how they are building to counteract the AFC West, continue to add a lot of, you know, ball skills and playmakers in the back seven to defend the pass, but also adding physical presence, obviously, there in both sides of the trenches. So really like this draft class for Denver. I rank them second personally in the AFC West of the draft classes. Third in the AFC West for me is the LA Chargers. And obviously, they got a tremendous pickup in the first round with Northwestern offensive tackle Rashawn Slater, who they took at 13th overall. Asante Samuel Jr., Florida State cornerback, was the pick in the second round at 47 overall. Third round, they went with a couple of picks, both offensive playmakers. Josh Palmer, the wide receiver from Tennessee, at 77. Trey McKitty, tight end, Georgia, at 97 overall. Fourth round pick, Chris Rumpf, the second edge defender from Duke. Going to be probably a mix of defensive end slash outside linebacker usage for him at the NFL level, who they took at 118 overall. Fifth round pick, Brendan Jamies, the offensive tackle from Nebraska. Sixth round pick, they had a couple, 185 overall. Iowa linebacker Nick Neiman, who is actually the brother of Chiefs linebacker Ben Neiman. So those two Neiman brothers and former Iowa Hawkeyes will now have a sibling rivalry in the AFC West, meeting twice a season. Larry Roundtree, the third Missouri running back, is the pick at 198, and their seventh round selection at 241. Mark Webb, safety, more of just an overall do-it-all defensive back from Georgia. So overall, I like I said, this was a fine draft class. I just think they made a lot of aggressive moves after their first two picks. I think Josh Palmer, a guy I liked as kind of a day three wide receiver. Obviously, he was taken on day two. I'm saying day three is where kind of I had him rated. But yeah, it's really weird. I think there's so much boom or bust potential for him. Didn't necessarily have a great offense or quarterback around him with the Tennessee Volunteers. He has some downfield ability, but I don't necessarily think that the ball skills match up with that. So it's a really, for me, it's almost a little bit too rich of a pick for me at 77. I know that the NFL evaluators really, really liked him, probably overall a little more than the draft community did. But yeah, that's almost too rich for me. They invested 77 for him there. Trey McKinney, the tight end from Georgia, honestly like his skill set a little bit more than Palmer's for the offensive playmaker picks here for LA in round three. But again, it's just a guy that has been so raw so far, and the technique definitely going to have to be you know, well rounded and developed quickly if he's going to see early results at the NFL. Chris Rumpf is a really, really interesting player for this defense. I think it's actually a great scheme fit for him, for a you know, defensive mind like Brandon Staley, who's the new head coach. Very, very lean player. I believe he played at Duke last year, like 215 or 220. So outside linebacker slash pass rusher that I think you can use him in a variety of ways. It's just going to be interesting to see how LA decides to do that. Brendan Jamies, for me, was one of those late offensive tackle picks that I think I would have definitely been willing to take a flyer on him. So I actually think this was, outside of their first two picks, one of their better ones in this draft. Neiman, Larry Roundtree, Mark Webb to end it. I think these are guys that not necessarily going to turn heads always or steal the headlines, but I think guys that where this team is at right now is actually kind of necessary, you know, positions of need that I think they did a good job of filling. I don't necessarily think it makes them, you know, overall a tremendous and well-rounded draft class, but I think they're good picks. Not great, good picks. I think they serve, though, a good purpose for this division, you know, and how they have to handle other teams. So Nick Neiman can play, I think, you know, in space pretty well. I think he does all right in pass coverage, probably a little better than his brother Ben with the Chiefs, honestly. Larry Roundtree, I understand the pick. The Chargers are really kind of the only team outside of, you know, Denver and Vegas of the Chiefs' opponents that don't necessarily have the physical running game or the downhill running game. They're more of the zone running scheme. But I think with Larry Roundtree, that's a nice compliment to Austin Ekeler. And then Mark Webb, like we said, do it all defensive back, actually plays really well against the run. You know, Georgia kind of moved him around and put him up in the slot when pressing. So, you know, not a guy that I think are a lot of people are familiar with, but I think a guy that in this division, it makes a lot of sense, can be a Swiss Army knife for them on the back end. But yeah, the first two picks, I mean, Slater to me, second best offensive tackle prospect in this class. I think he'll obviously play left tackle, I would imagine, for second-year quarterback and former offensive rookie of the year from last year, Justin Herbert. So really unfortunate, I think, for Chiefs fans to see Slater go to this division. But I think, yeah, overall, you know, it's a guy that very athletic, tremendous movement skills, but again, very powerful at the point of attack there. And Asante Samuel Jr., his value, I think, was so different for a lot of people around the board. I kind of had him as a late second round grade. Didn't necessarily think that, he was going to be for everybody, among NFL teams, a little bit smaller guy. The ball skills and the playmaking ability has been a little bit lacking for, you know, what the expectations were for him at Florida State. But I think overall, for what this team needed, you know, releasing Casey Hayward to try to save some money and, you know, obviously being able to bring back a very underrated star, or, you know, star maybe not the right word, an underrated, you know, playmaker like Michael Davis, I think that's a tremendous fit for them, for Asante Samuel Jr. I just think that overall, what led me to drop them below Kansas City and Denver for how I rank these teams' draft classes in the AFC West is I think they just were a little bit ambitious with some of their picks, even though I think they'll be okay scheme fits overall, possibly in the end. I think the players that, you know, where they were taken, a little bit rich for me, and I think overall they really missed out on some other value there on day three. Lastly, we got the Las Vegas Raiders, who I have last in this AFC West division for their draft class. But I will say it's not as bad, I think, overall as people think. I think they actually got some really fun players here to add to the defense, which obviously needed a lot of help. I will say, though, three safety selections. I wonder for where the Raiders are at in this point in time, abandoning other spots in the draft and focusing solely on that one. You know, how is that going to affect them both short-term and long-term? I think that is going to be a hindrance this season already in 2021, and I get it. Jonathan Abram has struggled. He's a freelancer, a guy that is just so reckless, gets hurt too much, you know, does his own thing too often and not sticking to the defensive scheme. And you got a guy like, you know, Carl Joseph that they brought back. You need playmakers. I get it. But I think almost going too often with the safety picks could hurt the Raiders. You know, I mean, Trayvon Morig, Divine Diablo, who's actually more of kind of a box safety, and then Tyreek Gillespie. Those are three good players I really, really liked. Had them all ranked in my top 11 for safety rankings. But, yeah, I just wonder if the Raiders are going to be able to maximize those guys as quickly as they're hoping to. Morig is kind of, I think, a perfect actually fit for the Raiders in this division when you look at the rest of the passers in this league and the downfield threats at receiver, tight end. Alex Leatherwood, right, the first-round pick who they took 17th overall, I just do not understand them making another reach now. They needed to replenish the offensive line. They let a lot of guys go via trader or just simply releasing them. And I get it. Leatherwood has been playing for a long time with Alabama, got some decent athleticism for his size. But I think when you look at the question marks for what role he's exactly going to fill, right, he's been a guard but could be an offensive tackle. With where the Raiders are at and already how in flux the overhaul is of this offensive line and the question marks still that remain, I just don't not feel comfortable if I were a Raiders fan or a Raiders, a Raiders executive, you know, I just would not feel comfortable reaching for Leatherwood. Now, I think the NFL probably likes Leatherwood a little bit more overall anyway, so he might have still been a first-round pick, maybe just on another team, and I still would have been a little skeptical. But yeah, for a team like the Raiders, I think with Tevin Jenkins still on the board, Christian Darrisaw still on the board, this was a very, very questionable pick. Felt like they were reaching a little bit here, and yeah, I thought they reached again a little bit in round three, Buffalo defensive end Malcolm Kuntz. I just don't know how his style fits with this team. Now, again, they do have a new defensive coordinator with Gus Bradley this season, so he's always been really good at scheming up pass rush opportunities for players, but I just don't know. Kuntz is more of a leaner player compared to what they've obviously had the last few seasons under John Gruden at defensive end slash outside linebacker. I just think he rushes better from a stand-up position. He's a very lean guy, has the length, but, man, he got pushed around pretty easily in the MAC at Buffalo. So Malcolm Kuntz overall, a little bit of a reach here for me at 79, right before the Divine Diablo pick. But, yeah, the last pick they make here, or the last couple picks they make here on day three, fifth round, 167 overall, Illinois corner, Nate Hobbs, a little bit of a late bloomer, I think has some fun potential, best football probably ahead of him, has the length and physicality I think that a lot of teams will covet for the cornerback position. So I kind of understand that pick, but yeah, a guy that is very up in the air. You don't have, I think, a lot of expectations overall for him coming out of Illinois. And then Pitt Panthers safety Jimmy Morrissey, was the seventh-round selection for them at 230 overall. Again, another offensive lineman, but again, is this guy, really going to, you know, have a large ceiling? I think that's a big question mark. And they do have a center that they signed this year to free agency, which was Nick Martin. So I don't know how they'll use Morrissey in year one, but fun player there, I guess, on day three. Like I said, the Raiders, it's fun to make fun of them. And I do think they reached a couple of times here with Leatherwood and Kuntz. But overall, there is some picks I liked here for the Raiders, especially when you put it into the bigger picture of how they're going to match up with the high-flying offenses in the AFC West. I understand these picks, but yeah, I think they almost went too Raidery or too cute in some other spots. So I ranked them last in the AFC West, and I think overall, though, there are still other teams that did worse in the draft than them. But that's how I rank the AFC West teams with the draft. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like I said, if you guys have not checked out our draft recap for the Chiefs from last Sunday and last weekend, go check that out. Again, we give short-term and long-term outlook for the players the Chiefs selected in the draft, their positive and negative traits that they entered the NFL with, and how their fit could work with a team like Kansas City and how they're built right now. So go check that out. Of course, we will have a couple of other pieces coming out this weekend. So stay tuned for that as well. Going to just be looking at some of the latest veteran additions the Chiefs have made over the last week to their roster with free agent signings. And got a fun opinionated piece that we're going to build off of, based off somewhat of their draft results, but also free agency for the Kansas City Chiefs. So stay tuned for that this weekend. And also more podcast, more podcast episodes to come next week as well. So stay tuned for that right here for more of the FPC Chiefs podcast. If you want daily video content for Full Press Coverage, go search Full Press Coverage on YouTube or Facebook. You have FPC Radio Live weekday mornings with Ian Glendon and Mike Debate. Always love following to see what they have to say. But also Dylan and Ross Save Sports, you can follow that at 5 Eastern, 4 Central Time. Again, YouTube, Facebook, Full Press Coverage. Go check it out. Some great, great content there to follow along daily during the week, both morning and afternoon / evening on Full Press Coverage. Of course, you guys can follow me on Twitter at BradenHolacek9. Follow us at FPC_Chiefs. If you want to follow the main Full Press Coverage NFL account on Twitter, you can follow it at Full Press NFL, all spelled out. So with that, we are going to wrap it up here. Stay tuned, like we said, for the couple of articles coming out late this week / weekend. And with that, enjoy your weekend, and we will see you guys next time.